As we continue to work our way through the lectionary, because that's what we do, what's interesting is how we end up with these different perspectives on similar kinds of things. And the sermon title, last week Grace, this week Wages, is looking at the difference, or at least the considering the possibility of difference between a couple of things that Paul talks about. Because Paul is big on grace, as we all know, or maybe we don't all know. But take it from me, Paul liked grace. Paul was well aware of law. When it comes down to people who knew the law that we encounter all through Scripture, Paul is probably in the top three, maybe the top two. So what do we do when Paul suddenly brings in this whole idea of wages? Well, obviously it's not a complete comparison. That's not what he's after. But when we look at our Romans passage, we see all kinds of interesting things in there that I think have value to us, particularly when we think about grace that we talked about last week. And we're reminded that grace is a gift of God. It's nothing we can earn. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. Earning something is merit. You don't buy a gift. If somebody gives you a gift, you don't then say, well, how much did it cost, and give them that much money in return? Because if you do, well, first of all, it's really rude. And second of all, it's not a gift anymore. What you've done is you've turned what was intended to be a gracious act of giving into a transaction, which is not what the person intended, and it's not what God intends with grace either. So we looked at grace last week, and this week we're going to look at wages. And not just any wages, not the usual kind of what you get paid because you have a job that you do, or the wages that you get, the return on investments you've made if you've moved into retirement, not the CERB you get from the federal government if, because of COVID-19, your job has been put on hold or perhaps has even disappeared. Wages are things that we get in return for something we've done. They're not gifts. I remember reading, I can't remember who it was, someone in the middle 30s was talking about this idea of thanking your employer for giving you wages was crazy. I don't think he was telling people to be not civil. I think he was trying to get people out of this idea of if you get paid for your work, someone's doing you a favor. There are no favors involved. It's a contract, if you will. You do X, I give you this much money. You do X, here you go. You can say thank you because to be polite, but not because you've been given some kind of a gift. The wages we're talking about this Sunday aren't the wages that we get for doing a job. They're the wages of sin. And we see right at the very last verse, Romans 6:23, one of those verses that many of us memorized at one point or another. If you're a part of Evangelism Explosion, or perhaps still are, you're going to know Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the NRSV. Sometimes you get the wages of sin are death, and if you like, we can have a big argument later about whether wages is plural or not, but not at this point. So the wages of sin is death. Well, sometimes we feel we have no control over the sin in our lives. And if we have no control of what we're of that wage of death is something that, well, it would be terrible. But what Paul tells us when we go back up to the beginning of this reading, that we can never lose sight of, Paul says, therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. He says, no longer present your body as instruments of wickedness, and it goes on. And in verse 14, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. We need to remember that. When we have these moments of thinking, I have no control over the sin in my life, we need to remember that when we have stepped into this relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, when we have accepted that gracious call of God who reached out to us before we even knew we needed God, that puts us under grace, not law. Because with law comes sin. Law is a very transactional kind of thing. Law says, do this, and that will happen. And there's not a lot of room for movement in there. You do this, that happens, that's all there is to it. Grace doesn't work that way. And we don't want to be under law. Oh, we want to now and then. because say what you like about law, and we're talking about perfect law, we're not talking about how it's expressed in our current political climate or in our current jurisprudence or anything like that. We're talking about the theory of law. It's predictable. If I drive too fast, I'll get a speeding ticket. It's as simple as that. If I don't drive too fast, I won't get a speeding ticket. It's a nice, one of those few binaries that we would like to have, but we don't, because sometimes I speed and nobody sees me. Sometimes I speed and the policeman pulls me over. This has never happened, but maybe the policeman pulls me over and says, "You look old, I'll let you off." I don't know. It's never worked for anybody I know except my late mother, who got away with speeding more than once, I think, because she must have looked like somebody's grandmother or mother or something. Law is this cause and effect thing that we sort of want, but we don't really. What we want is grace, because we realize that while we're not forced to sin, we do have a choice. Often we choose to sin, and that's part of being human. It's part of living in a fallen world. It's part of being someone who doesn't always do the best thing possible because it's uncomfortable, because it's not expedient, because we don't like putting off gratification, because we want something and we want it now. We currently have two live-in sermon illustrations. Sam is 5, Silas is 3, and I see lots of things at that age that I've seen at every child in that age, that they want things now. And they almost give the appearance that they can't wait for things, but when you talk to them, it turns out they actually can. It's the same thing with us. We have this feeling, I have to sin, I have to give in to this temptation, because I can't not give in to this temptation, but we can. And we can because of that gracious gift of God, of grace. And when we look carefully at this passage, something that struck me a few years ago and that I still spend time wondering about and in awe with, it's Paul's language choice in verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, sure, but the free gift of God, okay, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Note that the gift is not immortal life, but eternal life. I've said often that eternity is one of those things we really can't comprehend, because there is always a time when we weren't. Eternity means there is no beginning, no end. To use Samuel's illustration of a ring, one of the reasons why we use rings for weddings and things is there's no beginning or end. Where does the circle start? We don't know. It doesn't have a start or an end. Eternity is the same thing. Eternal life is slightly different, but it takes part in the same essence, because eternal life means it doesn't start there. Eternal is now. What Paul is saying is that sin doesn't have to control us anymore now. We aren't under the law anymore. One of the things we talked about last week is that grace isn't something we get to. Grace is something that God gives us, because we can't give it to ourselves. We can't earn it. It's a gift. God says, here you go. Here's grace. This grace begins now, not later. Grace is part of the eternal life that we have that begins now. We don't have to wait to die to then get this eternal life, because that's a continuation. It's in a new form. We don't know what it will look like. Pretty sure it'll be wonderful. I suspect we'll get questions answered, if they still matter, that we can't answer now. There's all of those good things that will happen then. But not because we are suddenly granted eternal life at the point of our mortal life ending, but because eternal life has started. Because for all of us who responded to God's reaching out to us when we didn't even know we needed to be reached to, and then God giving us the strength and the power and the ability to respond to that reaching out, God is part of all of that. And God brings us into grace and takes us away from the paymaster of sin. Because all we get out of sin is death. It's not always death right at that very moment, of course. We don't sin and then die. It's not that cut and dried. It's not that cause and effect. But the things that we do that are sinful in our lives lead us towards things that are not life-giving, but are death for us or for the people around us. Selfishness hurts someone else and us. Lust hurts other people and us. All of those sins that we do hurt everyone. No one's immune to the sin that we do. So instead of looking at that wage, which we don't want, we can look at the other. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, beginning from the moment of our acceptance from God, and God saying, "You are mine." And from that moment on, we will give in to sin because we're fallen human beings. We still have problems. We're not perfect by any means. But we've been given the power to resist sin in a way that we never could before. And it comes through grace, and it comes now. From this moment forward, from that moment forward, all of our lives, until we then move into that next stage, whatever it's like, as a continuation of the eternal life that God has given to us in Christ Jesus our Lord, whose name we praise. Amen.